You know, sometimes we assume everybody's all right, but, you know, believers sometimes struggle. You don't know it, or you may be sitting beside somebody in churches that way. Not whether God will deliver or not, but many, they read the scripture, and, you know, and they hear testimonies, and yet when the pressure comes and the problem is real personal and prolonged and painful, they sometimes begin to wonder if God will show up this time. Anybody ever been in that position? I see a few hands. I think if we would all be honest, that we might have all been there at some time or another. Hello? Okay. What I want to tell you tonight, God is faithful to deliver. Not sometimes, not selectively, but all the time. You know, God is faithful because his deliverance is not based upon our perfection. Sometimes people think, well, because of what I've done, or I may not be in line to be delivered. Now, you begin to look at something here. God's faithfulness is rooted in his nature. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called to fellowship, into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want you to know that God is faithful. It didn't say he might be faithful or that we want him to be faithful. It's a flat out statement. God is faithful. You know, is a strong verb there. God is. And we could say God is a lot of things. He is. He's all things, really. But he is faithful. It doesn't matter what you've done. You know, God does not deliver because of the circumstances or because of pressure. God doesn't deliver just because we say, hey, we need something. Now, get all that. God delivers because faithfulness is who he is. Because right here it says, God is faithful. So that tells you, faithfulness is not something God does. It's something God is. You know, I know this is simple, but sometimes we need to break things down and just get simple with it. You ever notice when Jesus was teaching, you notice he used a simplistic style of teaching, using the, you know, fig trees and grapevines and olives and all different things. He didn't try to make it. I mean, he just laid it out there in a simpler form. Sometimes we need to back off and quit trying to be so intellectual, and we all need to be intellectual. I'm not against that at all. What I'm trying to say is that we sometimes stand in our own way because we are trying to figure it out rather than just letting the faithfulness of God take over the situation. You know, let's look at this. You know, when God promised to deliver Israel, and He didn't ever promise them that it was going to be an easy journey. But he did promise that his presence would be with them. And actually, he demonstrated it with a cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. That was, somebody said, well, that's just, no, that was his presence watching over them. You know, but his promises of being with them never failed. He was faithful to always be there, even when time after time after time after time they failed. But he remained faithful. You can see this even after they took the promised land. When you read those historical books about all of their journeys and all of the kings and all of the prophets and all of that, you see, it was like they were on a roller coaster. They'd be high with God, and then they would start to forget about his goodness and his mercy and go downhill, and then you and they start to cry out, oh God, help us, and then he would pull them out because he was faithful to be there. You see, he is always faithful to deliver. Always. Not sometimes. Always faithful to deliver. Now, this is a funny illustration, but I think it's a good one. Think about the sun, okay? I like the sun. I don't know about you, but I like the sun. I like it, the sun to shine and so forth. But you know what? Whether you acknowledge it or not, it rises and sets every day. You know, clouds may block it. Storms may come and block it. But it remains unchanged. Whether you can see it or not. Do you realize when we're having a thunderstorm that the sun is still shining? You know, sometimes when we're flying out to go to one of our conferences, living faith conferences, and we ride down here, it's gloomy, cloudy, and we climb through the clouds and we top out over the top of the clouds. Man, it's sunshine and bright. Just because you couldn't see the sun, it was still up there. And just because you never think about it, but God is always faithful, just like the sun, he's always there. See, we need to not measure God's faithfulness by our current situation. We need to anchor our faith in his unchanging character. One of his unchanging characteristics, I better say it that way, is better, it's more theologically correct, is faithfulness. He's faithful. You know, when the circumstances around you are screaming failure, you're not going to make it this time, you don't see how, you got to still remember God is still God and he's faithful. Now, you know, God delivers many ways, just not one way. My dad used to say, the laying on of hands for healing is one way, but not the only way. I've heard him say it many times. The way God delivers a lot of times is different than we think it should be or even want it to be. You know, now some people got the idea once they start serving God, everything's going to be great. There's going to be no more problems. You know, everybody say, well, it's not, you know, people always talk about something about this, better roses. Well, let me tell you what. You don't want to lay down on a bed of roses. Especially, they've got thorns on those things. I was just fixing to say, life is not, people think life is going to be a better bed of roses, no problems, you know. But Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. How many righteous people are in here? You know what? We have many problems. That we could change that word and say problems, trouble, situations. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. You know, it says we have problems. Actually, it's 33, that's it. John 16 says that Jesus even said that you're going to have problems and trouble, but that he had delivered you. You know, sometimes, and now people don't like to hear this, but I've seen it happen, and I've been there myself. God delivers you from trouble, okay? And that's when it's really fun. But sometimes God delivers you through trouble. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were not delivered from the fire, but were delivered in the fire. Why? Because he was in the fire with them. You know, the miracle wasn't the absence of the flame, it was the presence of God in the flames. That's a different thought, isn't it? You know, sometimes we want deliverance as an escape, but often it helps us to endure, or strengthen, might be another way to say it, our faith. Come on now. Go read James and you'll find out that's what it says there. Count it all joy when you have a problem, doesn't it? Because the endurance builds your faith. Isn't that what it says? Three people said amen. They must not have read that. Now, you know, we need to trust God for deliverance however it comes. Hello? Those three boys were trusting God for deliverance, but they went on to say, if not, their commitment was still to God. Now, what happens a lot of times when people get in a problem and they're not delivered the way they think so, then their commitment to God changes. Uh-oh, that's quiet. I better go on. That's getting people getting too quiet on me here. You know, trust God. He's the deliverer. Either from it or through it, he will deliver you. You know, Daniel was delivered from the lions then, but he had to go in there first. The three Hebrew children were delivered from the fire, but they went in the fire first. Now, we don't like to look at it that way, but sometimes we got to realize we get in the fire, but the deliverer's there with us. They went in the fire. Daniel went in the lion's den, but the deliverer went in the lion's den with him. Three Hebrew children went into the fire, but the deliverer went in the fire with them. You got to realize that no matter what your situation or what you're facing, the deliverer is there with you. If you'll trust him and believe him, he will see you out. Just like he did Daniel and those three Hebrew boys. Now, God's past deliverances builds confidence for the problems you will face today. Let me say that again. God's deliverance and getting you through situations in the past gives you confidence for what you're facing today. Look at these scriptures. I'm going to read from the New King James, and then I like the way the NLT says it also a little better. He delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Now the NLT says, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We've placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. Now Paul is talking here about himself and evidently those that were with him, because he delivered us. So he must be talking about more than just himself. But he's talking about the fact that he did rescue us, or he did deliver us from mortal danger, it says. And he will do it again. We placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. Now there's three things there, okay? He's talking about three things, three tenses really. God has done it. God is doing it. And he will continue to do it. See what he said. Look what he said. He did rescue us from mortal danger. He will rescue us again. We placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And he did deliver us from mortal danger. And he will deliver us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to deliver us. I don't think that changes the scripture any. Hello. You see, if God delivered you before, he will do it again. He hasn't changed. I like that song the singers and band used to sing, "He'll Do It Again." How many of you remember that song? Oh, I got a bunch of people. I love that song, man. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. Hello. Sometimes that's where we get in trouble. We start trying to figure out how. But do you know what? The how is not up to us, his delivering power. The how is not up to us. Up to us is to believe what the Word of God says and put our trust in him. You know, he intentionally speaks of deliverance, past, present, and future, because when you begin to think about the past and what God has done, it helps build faith for what he's doing now, and it also gives you confidence that he will do it tomorrow. You see, when you begin to forget about what God has done, it brings fear. And when that happens, it produces fear and not faith. Because we begin to look at what it looks like, instead of looking what God has done and what he's going to do. He reminds us here what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? I'm just trying. I know you all know. You know, so many times people try and give something new. Hey, there's not anything new anyway. But we do need to be reminded again of the things that we do know. It's like rekindling a fire. Now, my grandpa, at that old farmhouse when I was 5 years old, he at night before, because there wasn't no stoves in the rest of the house, the big old fireplace in the family living room. Anyway, it's the only place there is together. Okay, and it was a big fireplace. They had put big logs in there. Man, that thing is burning bright. But you know what? You get up in the morning time, there are no flames at all. Well, you know what? He would put a few little sticks in there and take that poker and start stirring it like that, and all of a sudden flames jump up. Because the fire was still there. It's just down there under the ashes. Hello? Come on, that's what we need to realize, is that stir up the past deliverances. It will cause the fire to ignite for us to believe for today and tomorrow. Hello? You know, revisit your past deliverances. And use them as a weapon against fear that's telling you it's not going to happen this time. Okay? Now, you know, sometimes we get the idea that if we're waiting, that God has gone away. Waiting does not mean God is absent. You know, Psalms 46:10 said, "Be still and know that I'm the God." This reminds us that God is more recognizable in stillness than in activity. Did you know I've got more answers in just praying and then just being still and waiting on God than I ever have when I was shouting? Now, don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with a shout. I like a good shout. But I tell you, most of the time, you get your answer, it's in the still quietness of waiting on the Lord. You know, sometimes people equate stillness with no activity. Just because you don't see something, stillness does not mean that you've resigned your resigned yourself to the fact that nothing's going on. Let me tell you what. He's always working. In fact, we sing the song, "He's always working," when you don't see it, and so forth and so on. Right? That what I'm trying to do is just stir you up and get you remembering and get you looking again at stillness does not mean nothing's happening. I mean, he told the children of Israel, "Stand still," when they had the army behind them and the water in front of them, and they were starting to murmur and complain and to Moses and brought us out here, we're going to die, blah, blah, blah. And God told Moses, tell him to stand still. In other words, stand, shut up. That's what we would say in Texas, where I was born and come from. I think they say the same thing in Oklahoma, too. Sometimes you just need to yell at the devil and tell him, shut up. He can't tell anything but lies in the first place. You know, God is wanting us to stop striving. Stop getting in a panic. And here's one Stop trying to control the outcome. Come on now. How many times do we pray, but then instead of just standing still and letting God work, we try to control it ourselves? Come on. You know, I'm going to say that again, but I'm going to say it a little differently this time. We need to stop trying to take control of things that we were never meant to control in the first place. You see, when you pray and ask God, you turn control over to Him. But here's where we get involved trying to control, because, well, maybe if I do this, it'll help the situation. Come on now. Y'all looking at me like that, but I know good and well all of you have been in that same place. I know I prayed and asked about this, but man, maybe if I could do this, it'll help it. A lot of times it makes it worse. See, we've got to go get to the point when we turn it over to Him, let it go. If I tell somebody, one of the employees around here, to do something, you know what? I let it go because I expect it to get done. Hello? See, because now I've told him to do it, so the control is over there. Come on now. Stillness does not mean nothing is happening. Let me say it like this. It means that God is working beyond what we can see. We are tempted sometimes to equate, because we see nothing happening, that there's nothing going on. Do you realize sometimes God has to get some other things in position before He can help you with your situation? He has to, you know, sometimes He has to get people to listen. You've heard the story where I was 16 and traveling with Dad, and we had a trailer, and we were out of food, and we just prayed and believed God for food. And then he started that meeting. That was on Saturday night. We started a meeting on Sunday. And of course they took us out to eat, but then Sunday night we didn't have nothing to eat, and I'm 16. And they used to call me Slim. But those days are gone forever. But we sat down at the table and said, "Thank you, Lord, for our food," and got up from the table. Wasn't no food there. It wasn't until Wednesday that a guy showed up with a pickup bed full of groceries. I mean, it's them paper sacks that you put a bunch of stuff, you know, not a little paper sack, and a big. How many of you remember you go to a grocery store, have the big paper sacks? You can put a lot of stuff in there. You can probably put what 10 of them plastic sacks will hold in one of those big old sacks. But anyway, it's full. He came to the door and he told Dad, he said, "Now we prayed when we eat our last meal on Saturday, we prayed and asked God to provide." He said, "You know, Saturday, it seemed like, you know, God, the Lord was saying to me, take Brother Hagin some groceries." And he said, "Oh, he don't need no groceries." And he said, "He's dealt with me every day. Today it got so bad, I just went and bought a bunch of groceries." Now, Dad just said, "Thank you, praise the Lord." He didn't even tell him what we was believing for. But you see, there, the minute we prayed, But we kept sitting down at the table and praying at the empty table. And he come on with. What I'm saying is, see, God was moving on somebody, but he had to get to. Think about it. I'm going to put this in here. If God tells you to do something, I don't care what, if you think the people don't need it or not. You don't know. Hello? Hey, God is working when you can't see it. God's delay is never neglect. When, let me say it this way, when heaven seems quiet, God is working. We just don't see us. This is where our faith comes in. Think about this. When you bury a seed in the ground, flower, plant, tomato plant, whatever, it looks like nothing's happening. But beneath the surface, life is forming. The delay is not death. It's life developing. That seed is developing life. And pretty soon, a sprout will shoot through the ground. And you thought nothing is going on. You know, be patient. And stay in faith. Did you know you can't rush God? But you can keep believing. You know, Daniel prayed, and when the angel got there, he said, I was dispatched the first time you prayed. But Daniel kept praying, and he got there 22 days later. I got 4 minutes left. Deliverance requires trust before evidence. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That's King James. NLT says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Trust, or our faith, cannot be based on visible proof. It has to be based on the reliability of God's word. You know, if trust requires evidence first, it's no longer trust, or it's no longer faith. Somebody said, I believe it when I see it. That's what Thomas told Jesus. Or he told the other disciples, he told them, he said, I won't believe it till I see him myself and put my hands in the nail scars and so forth. And Thomas said to him, blessed are those that believe that haven't seen. See, God often asks us to step out before we can see a clear outcome. This is difficult, really, because in our world, we want reassurance before we step out. You know, before you ever step out on a icy pond like they do up north, You gotta be sure that it's gonna hold you before you go there. You know, driving in some of them old country roads back when I was a kid down there, and Grandpa and them, they lived back then. You know, I was a kid about 20 years ago. you have those old country roads, and they have those. Wooden bridges built across some of those creeks or some of them, you might call it a river, but it wasn't really a river. I don't know what you call it. But anyway, it wasn't just a small stream. It was a pretty large creek. And there have been times that even when I was a little older, I would say, wait a minute. You think that bridge is going to hold us up? It looks sort of rickety to me. Anybody ever been there? I got somebody who's been there. You know, but faith is obedience to God's word before you ever see it, before you ever know it. You know, you show faith all the time in the natural. How many of you, before you sit out on that pew, you checked it to make sure it was going to hold you up? Huh? No, because you trusted that pew was going to hold you up. Hello? Anybody ever told you they're going to do something for you and you went out and purchased something because of what they said? That's faith or trust. Why can't we do the same thing with God? Huh? Faith doesn't wait for proof. It just praises God for the answer, whether they can see it or not. You know, Peter didn't walk on the water because the storm stopped. He walked on the water because he trusted Jesus. The storm was still there, but he stepped out anyway. It says that if you read beforehand, it says the sea was boisterous. You know, we got to choose to trust over anxiety. We got to obey when we don't understand, and we got to speak with faith instead of feelings. So let me close this real quick. God is faithful to deliver. The big problem, the little problem, when the process is slow, when you don't understand it, you keep believing anyway because God is faithful. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, tried to inspire these people for a few minutes tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Anybody get anything out of this? Did I stir you up again? You got to trust God at all times. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, if you happen to be here with us tonight, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, so you can't get involved on what I'm talking about until you know Jesus as your personal Savior. Or maybe you're here and you know what it is to serve God, but you just sort of got off track and detoured, and you need to rededicate your life to God. As we're dismissed, the men are over here, the prayer lady, this is our prayer team, ladies over here. If you'll come down, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason, if you'll come to the front, they'll pray with you. All right? Connection team, find our first-time guest and see if we can't get them a little gift for being with us today. If you're looking for a church home, why do we say church? Welcome home. Just come and join us. Hey, Sunday morning right here. Come believing, come expecting. Turn around and tell somebody, I trust God. He's faithful. And you're dismissed. We'll see you. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now.